Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was around the year 740 BC, give or take a few years, when King Uzziah died. And he had been king of the southern kingdom of Judah for many years. When he began, he was a co-regent with his father, and then he was a pretty good king. He believed in God, and he followed what God said for most of it. But one thing he did not do, he did not remove the idols and the foreign gods from the area. So God touched him and gave him a leprosy-like disease. So then he had to rule from his house, and his son was then his co-ruler with him. But Uzziah died, and he had been a good king for the most part, better than some of the rest, some of the other ones, and some, there are a few better than him, but not many. Most of them were worse than he was. But he died. And he, like I said, he was in the southern kingdom of Judah. And in the year that he died, this man named Isaiah was given a vision. Now, Isaiah might have had some visions before. It's unusual that his call doesn't come till the sixth chapter of Isaiah. Usually, like when Jeremiah was called, it was in the first chapter. When Jonah was called, it was in the first chapter. Isaiah's call comes, what we call his call, comes in the sixth chapter. Now, not everything in the first five chapters might have been in chronological order, but he was called, and he was given a vision. And in this vision, it was a wonderful, wonderful vision. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That's because God is so great, so enormous, everything, that he fills everything. The train filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, and they were angels created by God. And each of these six has six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. That's a way of saying he was very modest. And with two, he flew. Now, what's important about being modest is a lot of the pagans, a lot of those against God, in their worship, there was a bunch of sexual idolatry going on in them. But with the seraphim, they covered. They were modest. And he flew, and they called, and they said to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Holy, not once. Holy, not twice, but holy three times. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And notice they don't say holies, they say holy. He is one God, three persons. Holy, holy, holy. Just holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. That means Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And isn't that wonderful for Isaiah to see this? To be able to witness this, to see God sitting high. You see the seraphim singing to praise to God, singing about his holiness. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah is just so super excited about this, right? Everything, man, can you imagine being there with God and you're seeing God? But he has a big, huge problem. Woe is me! for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, which means I am a sinner. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That means he dwells among a bunch of sinners. As I stand here, a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And why does this worry him so much? Why does this bother him so much, this man of unclean lips? Because, first off, the only person who was able to enter the table into the Holy of the Holies once a year was a high priest, and that was not Isaiah. The only one who was allowed to come into the presence of God was the high priest of that year. And then it was only after sacrifices were made and he was declared clean of sin that he was able to go in. Other than that, if you saw God, you were dead. You were as good as dead. So that's why Isaiah is crying out, woe is me, because he knew this meant his death. He was a sinner, and he deserved death. But then, something really strange happened. One of the seraphim flew to Isaiah, and he had taken, having in his hand, a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. A seraph is kind of like the angels of fire. That's what seraph refers to. So he took this coal in his hand from the altar, which he used tongs to take it from. And he flew to Isaiah. And he touched the lips of Isaiah with this coal. Now, how many of you, when you sin and you know you're a person of unclean lips because you have sinned, how many of you go and get a hot coal from your barbecue pit or somewhere and you take it to your, touch it with your lips? Do you do that on a regular basis? Why not? Don't you want your sin to be atoned for? This is what it says. This is touch your lip, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. If that we did that, we'd be going to the hospital with the burnt lips really bad. But this is how Isaiah, how God took away Isaiah's sins, by having the seraph bring that coal to him. And it did not burn Isaiah's lips. Rather, it was nice. It was fulfilling. It was a forgiveness of sins. It was probably cool to his lips. And he loved it. Now, brothers and sisters, you said you don't want coal touched to your lips. How many of you are people of unclean lips? How many of you are sinners? Do you not want your sins forgiven? But you don't want to put coal on your lips? Then what are you going to do about it? Now, how many of you have seen seraphim flying around bringing coal to anybody? None of you. The only time we really hear about coal being given to someone is at Christmas when they're bad. And we haven't seen that. So there has to be a way for us to be able to come into the presence of God as people with unclean lips. So what did God do for us? How did he take away our sins? How has our guilt been atoned for? It is only through Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Holy, 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 Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son became man and dwelt among us and lived with us. And then he, who had very clean lips, no unclean lips about him, no sin at all, yet he went and had the burning sin, all of our sins, thrust upon himself when he suffered and died. He who was God and man was forsaken by God the Father because of our sin, when our sin was laid upon him. And he suffered and he died for us. And because he did so, that his death was the coal touching our lips and our guilt being atoned for. And he lived. He was risen on the third day. He lives. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And he rose on the third day, thus giving us the promise of eternal life. And brothers and sisters, I've been saying you're a people of unclean lips. However, this morning, you confess that you are people of unclean lips. And God, using me to speak the words, you are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are forgiven, and holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts forgave you your sins. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for through Jesus Christ. And when we sin, we don't have to rush out and look for a burning coal to touch our lips with. When we sin, we say to God, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And God says, you are forgiven because Jesus suffered and died and took the guilt of your sins away. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are forgiven. Your sin is atoned for. Your guilt is taken away through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are now allowed to come because of Jesus Christ in the presence of God. As you come here to church, you are in the presence of God. He is with you always, wherever you are. We don't have to worry about, oh no, we're in the presence of God. No. Through Jesus Christ, we are allowed. We are allowed to receive his body and blood, the true presence of Christ's body and blood, through his forgiveness, the suffering and death of Jesus, the forgiveness we receive. We are now able to come to the presence of God without yelling, without crying, woe is me! And I'll say, thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to be in your presence. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Notice he says, who will go for us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And God calls us. He asks, who will go? Who will go and become fishers of men? Who will go and do the work that I have given for them? Who will go and tell others about Jesus Christ? Who will go? And we respond, here I am, send me, send me. And we pray the Holy Spirit leads us to where God sends us so we could do God's work that he has prepared for us. And we're able to do this because we are forgiven, brothers and sisters in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.